You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey there, pet parents. This is Christy Vaughn, host of The Doggy Dish. And today we have a very exciting guest on our show. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back with our special guest after these messages from our sponsors.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Doggy Dish on Pet Life Radio. I have a very special guest here with me. Diane Daniels Manning is a phenomenal woman who incorporates dog therapy into her work with special education students. She's also the author of Almost Perfect, which is a wonderful story about an autistic boy named Benny and his journey to make life perfect through the world of dog shows. And what's really neat about this book is that all proceeds from the sales go directly to charity. How great is that? So welcome, Diane. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Well, okay, I want to jump right in and ask you some questions about your work because you do so much, and I want to make sure we have time to talk about all of the wonderful things that you do. So first of all, I know I definitely want to get into the book, but I wanted to ask you first, and I know you do so many different things, but how old were you when you started writing?
Oh, I remember writing a story in third grade, but as far as this book goes, this book is an overnight success that only took me 30 years to write. So I started writing it when I was young, and the woman that it's modeled after was old, and now I'm getting up there myself. So it's been kind of fun to see it evolve over the years.
I bet. And now it's here and it's in real life. So that has to be so exciting for you. That's great. Mm-hmm. So when did you know you wanted to write this book? You said it's been in the works for about 30 years, but what really sparked the idea?
Well, I was doing oral histories as part of my academic career back when I first had the idea of doing an oral history of women who did unusual things, but were not at a level that they were ever going to become famous. And the woman who inspired this book was one of them. And so I did her oral history, and I wasn't able to sell it as an oral history, but I just really admired her character so much and decided I'd turn it into a novel. And again, it just didn't quite sparkle the way it needed to. And then one day I said, why don't I put my school together with the dog story of this other woman? And as soon as Benny was born, we were home free. It really worked very well. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you mentioned Benny. So in this book, Almost Perfect, the main character is Benny, and he's a 14-year-old boy with mild autism and some ADHD. And so I know that through your extensive work with children with special needs, I'm sure that you've encountered and have had the pleasure of meeting a lot of Bennies. So if you could tell us just a little bit about how you crafted Benny's character, and was he based on one particular child or many that you've experienced?
No, actually, Benny is not a boy who exists except in my imagination, but he's a little bit of this child and a little bit of that child. You know, when you work with children in a school that you founded, I actually founded the school, the new school in the Heights in Houston, and you work with them very closely and intensively, and I guess you just take in a little bit of them from one, a little bit from another, and Benny just appeared, you know. I think if I met Benny, I would know him, but he does not exist.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense that maybe a little bit here, a little bit there, you put him together. So that's pretty neat. So without giving anything away, because we definitely want our listeners to read this phenomenal book, what can we learn from Benny and his character?
Well, I think that we learned the same thing from both the old woman who becomes his mentor, whose name is Bess, and Benny, to never give up. You know that if there's something that you want and you dream of, you just keep on keeping on until it happens. I think that's an important lesson. And as they achieve what they're trying to achieve, part of it, part of their journey is that they learn that almost perfect can be perfect, and that things don't have to be everything that we expect, that unexpected outcomes can be just what you really wanted and you didn't even know that you wanted it. And, you know, those things I think are very strong in the book, but the name Almost Perfect, you know, really was important in title, in giving a title to the book, but also in the ending, which I won't, of course, say what the ending is, but in the 30 years, I wrote the ending of that book, probably the first day or pretty close to it, that I ever started to write about Bess. And it's one thing that has never, ever changed. It just, the book always leads to that ending. And when readers get a chance to look at it, they'll know what I mean by saying that almost perfect can be perfect.
Good. And I think that is a great lesson for everyone to learn. And sometimes it takes us a while to learn that. In Benny's case, maybe it doesn't take so long, but it's a great lesson for everyone to learn. And with that said, there really is a little bit of everything for everyone in this story. And I think the characters are so relatable. And I really like how no one is perfect. What is perfect? But it does include some family issues and societal pressures, failure, success, and some other familiar emotions that we all know so much about. So was it difficult to incorporate so many real aspects of life into what really appears to be a warm and fuzzy story about a boy and his dog, especially if you look at the cover? Was it difficult to incorporate that into this story?
I wouldn't say that that was a deliberate choice, but just something that comes out of the nature of the characters. Again, you know, working with children as intensively as I have, you get to know them, you get to know their families, you kind of know what their struggles are. So if you're writing about them, you don't sit down and deliberately think, oh, I'm going to include a societal issue. You know? It's just because, you know, because they're who they are, they face real issues.
Right. Okay, great. Well, would you like to see Almost Perfect as a movie someday?
Of course, who wouldn't? I mean, you know, anybody would dream of that. But, that, you know, from your lips, that would be very, very
well,
nice.
Great. Well, fingers crossed, because I think it would make a great movie. Really, I think it would. This is such a great story.
Thank you.
So you have a sweet girl, Misty. Can you tell us a little bit about Misty? What is she like? What is her favorite thing to do? Does she have any favorite treats or toys? Tell us a little bit about Misty.
Well, Misty's a standard poodle, and anybody who knows a standard poodle knows that they are very mischievous. The puppy, the two main dogs in the book, the old champion, who is the father of Breaker, and Breaker is a naughty puppy that doesn't do anything terrible. It's just, you know, it's like puppies are. And I would say that he's modeled quite a bit after Misty. And one of the funniest thing that Misty does is if she's done something wrong, she has a very guilty conscience. And if she's done anything wrong, like she loves to steal Kleenex out of the waste paper basket and chew it into a million little pieces. But as soon as she steals that Kleenex or whatever she's doing that she shouldn't do, she runs in a particular way. You know, I can hear the rhythm of the run, which is never repeated any other time except when she's done something bad. So, of course, I can catch her if I'm doing any of her stuff. So she's just a great dog. I've had standard poodles almost all my life, my adult life, ever since I met the woman who became Bess. And, you know, I think I love all dogs. We do have therapy dogs at our school who are all rescue dogs and who come every week to help the children. And it's just, you know, we all love our dogs and they're all special.
Of course. Of course. Well, that leads me into my next question. I wanted to hear a little bit about the therapy work that you do using these dogs. So, of course, dog parents believe that dogs are the best form of therapy, but you're really mm-hmm. proving that. So tell us a little bit about some of the successes that you've had with your dogs working with the children at your school.
Well, the children, our school is for children who have some emotional difficulty. You have difficulty making friends would be one of the, you know, prominent things about them. And so by having the generous people who own these therapy dogs come every week regularly and never failing to come, the dogs actually befriend the kids. And the kids can make a friend with an animal that, as we all know, is so dependable and so faithful and so accepting that it's just really so moving to see how over the weeks the children blossom, you know, looking forward to this friend and having a connection. And not only do they connect with the dogs, but they connect with each other over the dogs. You know, it's so sweet to see four or five kids that, you know, a month ago, you know, you could barely maybe even have them in the same table because they're, you know, their hands would not be doing something as sweet as petting a dog. And then they're all together and they're all petting the animals. And it's just wonderful.
How wonderful. That is so neat how dogs can bring them together like that. That is just truly wonderful.
Yeah, people that do pet therapy are so generous. They should all be applauded.
Absolutely. I think that is so neat. And you don't really hear about it too often. So it is so neat that you are working with them and you're bringing awareness to this wonderful practice. It's great. All right, Diane, what are you currently reading now? We have to ask you, as an author, I always like to know what you are reading. What interests you?
Well, this kind of surprised me that I did pick up this book, and it might surprise you, but a book I am absolutely loving is Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a book that we probably read a chapter of in our seventh grade reading anthology, but maybe never actually read the whole thing and certainly didn't read it as an adult. And it is such a different experience to read as adults. I'm actually listening to it on Audible, which I love. I love Audible books. And actually, I'm very pleased that Almost Perfect has come out on Audible, and Audible actually paid for that to happen, so that was a really nice honor. But I recommend listening to Huckleberry Finn if you really want an hysterical laugh. It is so good so funny and yet so rich.
Very, very good recommendation. Awesome. Thank you so much, Diane. All right, well, we are going to take a short break, and we will return with more from Diane after these messages from our sponsors.
Sit, stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well-informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. You'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try Audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold Membership Plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com, the latest fashion trends for our furry friends. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Hi, this is Marcy Davis and my service dog Whistle, and we're your hosts of Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Working Like Dogs is the show where you can learn everything you ever wanted to know about working animals or working dogs. Whether you're a member of a working dog team, or you've just seen a working dog or animal out at the mall or the grocery store, and you're curious about how these amazing animals work with their human partners, then Working Like Dogs is the show for you. Join us for the inside scoop at Working Like Dogs on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Doggy Dish on Pet Life Radio. Before the break, we heard all about the exciting work Diane is doing, and now is the really, really fun part that everyone's waiting for. Diane and I are going to share some tasty holiday recipes with you. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a teaser for the next episode, which will be chock full of goodies you can easily make during the hectic holidays. All right, so I'm going to share a couple of recipes you can make right now, and then Diane is going to share a couple after. So who says you have to wait until the holidays to make these? Stores start putting out Christmas decorations before Halloween, so I think you're safe making these a couple of weeks ahead of time. And this first recipe you are going to love, and so will your fur kids. These delicious and sweet gingerbread cookies are sure to be a huge hit in your house. And not only do they taste great, they also smell amazing. Your family will definitely thank you for making the house smell like the holidays with these healthy goodies. And this recipe that I'm about to share includes cinnamon. And that's kind of the theme of these next few recipes, because cinnamon has so many health benefits for both hound and human. But the most recent studies show that it can help regulate blood sugar. So if you have a dog who may be diabetic or heading that way, try incorporating some cinnamon into your homemade treats. It can also act as an antifungal. So if your pup has problems with candida or yeast, cinnamon may help combat that. So I know one of my Frenchies occasionally gets yeast in his ears. So what I like to do is include a little bit of cinnamon in his diet to help reduce the amount of yeast that tends to build up in his ears. All right, so these gingerbread cookies will look and smell so delicious that you won't be able to resist the urge to try one. And remember, that's okay, because everything that we share during the show, you're able to try, because there's nothing icky in these tasty treats. All right, so to make these gingerbread cookies, you only need a few ingredients that you probably have on hand. So go ahead and grab your flour, whether it's whole wheat, coconut flour, or garbanzo bean flour. You'll also need some molasses, honey, and cinnamon. And that's it. And what you'll do is first preheat your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Then you'll take 1 cup of your flour and mix in a teaspoon of cinnamon. You can mix it by hand, or you can get it going in your stand mixer. And what I like to do is get the dry ingredients mixing together first before adding the sticky stuff. All right, so once the cinnamon is mixed in well with the flour, you can go ahead and measure out 1/2 cup of molasses. Now, I'm warning you, this stuff is terribly sticky. It might be a good idea to put the pups away for this one. You don't want any sticky fur. You can gradually mix in the molasses, and you're not going to get it to go any faster than gradually anyways, so just be patient. Then mix in 1/2 cup of honey and make sure it's all mixed in really, really well. You'll be able to tell it's ready when you can scrape it from the mixing bowl and start to shape it into a ball of dough. Also, make sure you have plenty of extra flour for your hands and the surface you're going to be rolling it onto. You can flour your rolling pin as well, and then roll the dough out to about 1/4 inch thickness. And I like to use a baking mat to roll mine. Then you can go ahead and cut your dough using some fun holiday-shaped cookie cutters. Place your cookies on a nonstick baking sheet, and then bake them for 15 minutes at 350 degrees. And when they're finished baking, make sure you allow them to cool before you serve them to your pups. Now, you can also use a similar recipe to make sweet potato cinnamon cookies. And these will smell delicious as well. You'll need 1 cup of the flour of your choice, 1 small sweet potato, cooked, cooled, and the skin removed, 1 large egg, and then 1 teaspoon of cinnamon. You'll mix the flour and the sweet potato together. And now the sweet potato should be pretty mushy because it's already cooked. And then you can gradually mix in the egg and then the cinnamon. Start to form a ball with the dough. And you may need to add a teeny bit of water to help it form, and then you can get your hands in there to work it together. Roll out the dough. You may need to use a piece of parchment paper or wax paper on top of the dough. Sometimes that can help you roll it out. And then use your fun cutters to cut the cookies, and then bake them at 350 degrees Fahrenheit for about 15 to 20 minutes, just depending on how firm you want the cookies. All right, so now I am going to hand it off to Diane, who will walk you through making super easy sweet biscuits and some delicious cinnamon apple treats. Yum. All right, Diane.
My mouth is watering. Okay. You need 2 cups whole wheat flour or grain-free flour like coconut or garbanzo beans, 1/3 cup unsweetened applesauce, 1/2 cup rolled oats, not instant, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, and preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Mix all ingredients together, adding up to 3 tablespoons of water if necessary to bring it all together into a dough. Roll it out to about 1/2 inch thick, then cut out shapes with your fun holiday cookie cutters. Think about your dog size when determining the size of the treat. Small dogs obviously prefer smaller treats, while large dogs might like a larger size one. There are so many cute holiday cookie cutters at this time of year, so pick up a pack and play around with the different shapes. Once you've cut out the shapes, place on a nonstick cookie sheet and bake for 30 minutes at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. You can cut the baking time down a bit if you like to make softer treats. Go for 15 to 20 minutes for a softer treat. Softer treats are best for puppies and older dogs who may be losing teeth. Be sure to wait until the biscuits are cool before serving. To store the treats, be sure to place them in an airtight container and store in the fridge. Here's some good news. They will stay good for about 3 weeks. You can also make a large batch and freeze in an airtight container. These sweet biscuits freeze and thaw very nicely, so don't be afraid to make ahead. If these treats become a staple in your house, you can always change it up a bit by incorporating cheese for a savory flavor in future batches. And I know dogs love cheese, so that would be great. Shall I go ahead and talk about the warm cinnamon apple treat?
Yes, please do.
All right.
I think those are my favorite.
I love these. Basically, you're talking about a baked apple, and I love baked apples. And pretty dietary for, not fattening, for a delicious dessert.
Yes, absolutely.
Or snack. All right. So I've got 4 apples washed and cored, 1/3 cup maple syrup, 1/2 teaspoon cinnamon, 1 tablespoon honey. So you're going to preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. You place the apples in a small baking dish. Mix together the maple syrup, honey, and cinnamon. It will be very sticky, so do your best to combine it. This will serve as your spread for the apples. Bake the apples for about 30 minutes or so. Make sure the apples are tender before removing them from the oven. Drizzle the mixture over the warm apples and serve. You will definitely want to share this snack with your furry friends.
Absolutely. Oh, it sounds so delicious. I feel like making some right now.
What about you? Me too, for sure.
Yes, it's perfect for this weather too, depending on where you are in the country. But if you have some colder weather, it's the perfect snack. And like Diane said, you can share it with your furry kids. So go ahead and make some, and it'll definitely make your house smell good too. All of these do. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Diane. Those sound amazing, and I know our listeners can't wait to try them. Diane, can you please tell everyone where they can find you and your book?
Well, my website is DianeDanielsManningAltogether.com. You can also get to it by going to AlmostPerfectNovel.com. And I guess you asked where to buy the book. The book is available on Amazon as a Kindle, as an Audible book, as a paperback. And it makes a good Christmas present and sells for about $8 for a paperback. So it's even something you can consider for a stocking stuffer.
Absolutely. And the proceeds from the sales go to charity. So that is amazing.
Yes.
And that makes it even easier for people to buy because it goes to charity too. And you get an amazing book. So very good. All right. Well, we will be linking to Diane's website on the show's page. So go check her out and also pick up a copy of Almost Perfect. Well, we are out of time, and we would like to thank our special guest, Diane, for joining us today and sharing her amazing story with us. And we'd like to thank our producers for making this show possible. I always love to hear from my listeners, so please send your comments and questions to Christy@PetLifeRadio.com, and that's Christy with an I. You can also find The Doggy Dish on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to like us and follow us to keep up with the latest and greatest in healthy cooking for your furry kids. I post all of the recipes mentioned on there, so feel free to follow along. Thank you for listening to The Doggy Dish. Bye-bye for now.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.